are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Toward Anarchy. I'm Michael Storm, and as always, it's my pleasure to be here live every week worldwide across the Republic Broadcasting Network. TowardAnarchy.com to follow along. Be sure to like, share, follow, subscribe, whatever that magic word is, maybe a combination of those words, wherever you see the show, wherever you find the like, if you see us on Twitter, if you see us on Facebook, I don't know, what are some of the other ones? Instagram, you're likely to find us around there. TLV, many, many places to find us if you go looking for us. At Toward Anarchy, or just type Toward Anarchy into any browser, and you know, 99 out of 100 times it's going to be me up there at the top. And this wonderful show that, thanks to you, I'm able to do every week here live. It's so much fun because I get to do something different every week, and I get to talk to somebody new every week. And there's always a plan, and the plan is never perfect, and it never goes entirely right. And you got to try to keep me on track. But I think most of the time we get a little something out of it. I certainly do. I enjoy the time that I get to spend here talking with the guests and knowing that there are people. And I hear this all the time. I hear about people who listen to the show, and it surprises me all the time when I come across somebody and they say, oh yeah, I listen to the show and I've listened for years. And that really blows my mind too. And it's all thanks to you and thanks to Republic Broadcasting Network. And I want you to, we'll talk about that a little bit more as the show progresses through the hour today. But I want you to go to towardanarchy.com. And if you're with me live, real time, it's July 9th in my world. And you will see that Nick Meyer, the one-armed madman, is my planned guest for the day. In fact, he's sitting there on the phone just ready to jump into the conversation. We'll do that here in just a second. But I wanted to tell you about him a little bit and why I would bring him on the show and why we'd be chatting. Because I like interesting, new, cool people that have stories to tell. How hard was that? Too Hard for the Radio podcast is the name of Nick's show. And he's dropping in today. We'll talk about anarchy and technology and transhumanism and just anything else that comes to mind. Maybe we'll talk about cocaine in the White House. I don't know. I'd rather talk about cocaine on my desk than in the White House. But what's that got to do with anything, right? whatever pops into our brains, that's what we'd be chatting about. There's plenty of things happening in the world that we could be talking about, but only some of them matter to us. If you want to find out what Nick and I or any of the strange characters that run in the same circles as I do are chatting about, we're easy to find. We're always trying to promote ourselves. You can find Nick and the one-armed he is the one-armed madman. You can find him and the Too Hard for Radio podcast on Twitter and on Instagram at Hard Radio Pod. At Hard Radio Pod. Look for Nick and the Too Hard for Radio podcast there. I've shared, as always, some links and things for you. Those links are there. Chase him down. Find him on Twitter or Instagram or on the Apple Podcast. Check out some of the podcasts. There's also a YouTube link there because I spent a little time in the den of the one-armed madman there and had a little conversation with Nick. And you can catch that episode of the Too Hard for Radio podcast at the link there on YouTube. And then there are other episodes that you can see as well, listen to, and be sure to give that like, that share, that follow, and that subscribe. When you like what you hear, there's also a link there about some so-called anarchists setting some motorcycles on. I wish I could say that they weren't anarchists, but there are plenty of people that claim the label. And who am I to tell them that they're not? I just show them. I live it. They set motorcycles on fire, and this is in this ongoing Cop City protest there in Atlanta that have seen dozens of people arrested on terrorism charges just for protesting the abuses of police and the fact that they're setting up this new basically it's a training ground for these pigs. Where they can go in and practice, you know, shooting up neighborhoods. And it's not quite like that, but in some sense, it absolutely is. And there's even been at least one person killed there in the protest by police. And there's some question about the validity of that. And, well, you know where I stand on that. If the cops weren't there causing a problem in the first place, if they were responding to the needs of citizens when called, that might be a different story. But instead, they're setting up another armed encampment for themselves where they can train each other in the ways of robbing, caging, and murdering the rest of us over their political and social opinions. That's the reality of it. TowardAnarchy.com, July 9th. Nick Meyer is the one-armed madman. He's the host of the Too Hard for the Radio podcast. And I had a wonderful conversation with Nick here a couple of weeks back. You can catch that on the YouTubes there. And we just chatted, and I had such a great conversation that I wanted to invite him onto the show so we could have another conversation and introduce him to you guys out there, introduce him across the network, because I think you like the things that he's talking about, and I think you like his perspective. And so I wanted to introduce you to Nick. Hey, brother, how you doing, my friend? I appreciate you dropping in and hanging out with me for the show, and I really appreciate you having me on the other day on your show, and I just really enjoyed talking with you. So I thought, hey, man, I got to keep the conversation going.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be with you. I really enjoyed talking with you. It's a pleasure to be with you here on the show, on the Republic Radio, talking to all the great people out there.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's been a fun ride. I've been hanging around here at Republic Broadcasting Network for, a couple of days. Actually, days. I was looking at the dates and times. But I was thinking about 2012 and the Ron Paul run. And there was a Peace and Liberty Festival that me and my friends put on in Colorado. And it was just a wonderful, fantastic, good time. And I remember that in particular because I remember trying to scramble during the festival to figure out, because that was a we were doing daily. And so I, the days I was up there, I had to figure, we were up in the mountains, and I had to figure out how to get connected and to be there for the broadcast each day. And it just stuck out so starkly in my mind. And just thinking about how long that was, 2020. So that's been 11 years, and the show started probably a year before that. So it's been a great relationship. I love this place, and it's a place where you can come and you can talk about whatever you want, and nobody's going to tell you you can't talk about it. They may give you their opinion about what they think of what you're talking about and the spin that you're putting on it, but they're not going to tell you that you can't talk about it. And I think that's really important right now. And I think that that must be important to you. Is that why you do the podcast? That you just got to, there's some things you got to say and some people got to hear it?
Yeah, you know, I'm always amazed when I hear stories like yours with people who have been, you know, fighting this tyranny for so long. I essentially spent most of my life sleepwalking. I was a normal guy. I grew up racing dirt bikes. I was at war with the state my entire life, but I never really thought I could win. It was always just, oh, it's this big, massive force that has been coming down on me my entire life, and it's so depressing and so powerful that I just don't even want to look at it. And it took getting hurt and sitting in my house for 5 years on the couch and not having anything to do, for me to finally, like, take a look at what was happening to me, who was doing it, and, you know, what I could do about it. And after sitting here, you know, I bartended for, like, 10 years, so I was used to airing out what was on my mind. I would complain sure. about sports or racing or whatever was on my mind to whoever would listen to me. And once I finally, you know, started getting into this and reading about political theory, I got very lucky. I could have easily been a Republican, but there's so many good people on the internet right now that I came across anarchists like you, and you guys were just speaking my language. It was like, holy crap, this is like everything that I believed my entire life, but have never been able to put into words. So I would read these, you know, Rothbard and other people, and I would just be blown away by how they were saying what I believed in a way that I didn't think was possible. I thought of anarchism as being the punk rock kids that I hung out with in school who had the anarchy. You know, I just thought it was some punk rock thing. I didn't think you could actually be a smart, respectable person and attack the state. So after a couple of years watching, I got really into podcasts. I really enjoyed podcasts. And I thought, you know, I've got something to say. And there's a lot of people out there listening. So let's just start screaming into the ether and see what happens.
Yeah, right. So carve yourself out a little niche. Everybody's out there. Everybody's listening. Everybody's just like yourself. They're at one stage or another of their understanding of their own reality, be it political, be it social, economic, what have you. And so there's always, and we're finding that out now with the introduction of technology into the home. It really, within the last couple of years, this is a thing that still surprises me. Because of COVID, a lot more people are on the internet than were before 2020. There's a whole bunch of people that used it and participated in technology. But I remember, right as the lockdowns happened, of course, everybody had to figure out, well, how the hell do I keep in touch with everybody? And I remember going, I had a camera that died at the time, and I remember going trying to find a camera, you know, a computer camera, a little PC camera, and trying to find one. There wasn't one in town, not anywhere in town, not any of the stores in town, not Best Buy, not any of the Walmarts that are around. None of them had them on the shelves. And then I started looking for a printer, and I thought, well, all the printers are gone too. And it was because all of a sudden people all across the nation had to catch up on this technology. And so it just exploded sort of overnight. And now there's an entire entire groups of new and interesting people looking for, clamoring for information and news, and in their various states of trying to figure out what it is they are, who they are, what they want to know. And it's great that you were able to jump into it. You say something here. You spent some time. It's amazing how much, when you have some time on your hand, what you can actually learn and find out about the world, isn't it? you ended up having to sit around for a bit. You were in an accident. What happened?
So I got electrocuted working on power lines. I got fourth-degree burns, which I didn't even know existed. When I'm in the hospital and they're telling me you've got fourth-degree burns, I'm like, hold on, isn't the scale 3-2-1? And they're like, oh, no,
right.
You're the four, and you got it. So
oh, wow.
I spent 4 months in the University of Utah's burn unit. I had surgery, you know, sometimes every day. Most of the time it was like every other day. So they had to do fasciotomies on both my arms. So essentially they cleaned me out like a fish. I had big, massive open wounds all throughout my arms. I weighed about 210 pounds at the time. So I was a pretty big guy, and they were pretty big, gaping wounds. And at first they tried putting cadaver skin over me, which was very interesting. So I had like multicolored skin covering my arms. I had black, white, yellow, different tints of each.
Oh,
it was
wow.
very interesting. And that lasted for a couple of weeks. And then that didn't work. And more surgery, more surgery, more surgery. And finally, the burn doctors came to me and said, hey, look, man, we've done all we can do. We're going to bring in a plastic surgeon. At that time, I knew. I was like, oh, man, I'm screwed. So they destroyed my left hand to the point where it didn't work anymore. It didn't move anymore. I couldn't feel anything in it. And they told me, you know, take a year, do physical therapy, and see if it comes back. Nerves will regenerate at times. And, you know, I got a lot of bad advice when I was in the hospital, but I did get one piece of good advice. Somebody told me, and I wish I knew who it was. They told me, your job is now being injured. Mm. And I was in a bad situation because the time period that I worked for the job, I didn't have private insurance. I was on workers' comp. So they were like, you are going to be like at war with the state for the next 5 years. Right. And you need to be just persistent. Do not take no for an answer. You want every therapy. You want every piece of equipment. Make them spend every dollar that they possibly can on you. And make that your job until you are ready to, you know, go back to life. So I was supposed to get 5 years, and they were supposed to, like, send me back to college after 3 years or so. And I ended up getting an extra 3 years out of them. So 8 years later now, I graduated college a couple of semesters ago, which was a great experience, actually. It was just a couple months ago, not semesters ago. Excuse me. I was able to see the beast from the inside, which was so valuable. I mean, some of the things that I saw in school, I don't consider myself to be a smart guy. I barely made it through high school. I had no desire to go to college at all. I didn't really read a book from the time I was 19, or probably 17, until I was 30. So I don't consider myself to be a smart guy in any way, really. Put me in school, and oh my God, I'm like gold stars all over the place. Some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life, I met in college. And a few of those were professors.
Yeah. I kind of experienced the same thing when I went off to college. I only had a couple of years gap from high school to college because I was chasing the radio thing. And that became my interest right after high school. And so I found that in colleges and you know, sort of looked around looking for the best. And I found it in this little small town college radio program. But the people. I I'd been out of high school for a couple of years and oblivious to other people at that time anyway. But more consciously aware of what's happening around me by the time I hit college and what's going on and seeing the people around me. And I wonder, wow, why are you here? What made you come here? And that's one of those things that had me thinking about trying to learn about, understand the economics of college and the trap that it is, and just one of these other conversations that I know a lot of people in our circles talk about, because that's what it is. It's a debt trap. It's a way to get you into this system that you're talking about. And your story, while unique to you, has that ring of truth about it, that same thing that most people have to experience before they really turn their back on that state. And that's the state has to violate them or someone they love, or they have to just make it completely impossible for you to survive without just constantly battling up against them.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm lucky. Like, my mother was a paralegal for one of the best criminal defense attorneys in Sonoma County, Northern California. So I grew up like knowing the cops were the enemy, the state was the enemy.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it was their job to make your life miserable. And they did that. Like, growing up riding dirt bikes, I mean, as a kid, you could take off from my house, jump across the road, hit the train tracks, and you could be down at the river or down at the bar in a couple of minutes, and everybody had a great time. Nobody ever got hurt. You know, nothing ever got broken. People just had a good time. And they ended all of that by the time I was like 6 or 8 years old. And you know, I had these, we had these little dirt bikes, these little 50cc dirt bikes, and we would ride them around town because they fell in moped rules. And the cops wrote actual, like, city ordinances because they didn't have laws on their side. So they essentially made their own to get rid of us riding these bikes. And now, if you were to go do it in that same town, same bike, you'd be a hero because you're for climate change. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Isn't that funny how there's a that shift in political and social opinions changes with the wind? Just, oh, yeah, yeah, no, no, we got to go the other direction now. There's money to be made. There's votes to be had. There's that is the system, right?
It is. There's. It doesn't matter what the law is. It's the political will behind the person enforcing it.
Yeah.
And they wanted those dirt bikes gone. And it got even worse for us. I'm sure most people are familiar with the movie Dazed and Confused. When I was 17, we had that paddling tradition in our town. And I got arrested with six of my buddies. We got arrested for one count of assault with a deadly weapon, 10 counts, or no, excuse me, one count of possession of a deadly weapon, 10 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, 10 counts of kidnapping, and 7 counts of criminal conspiracy. I was thrown in a cage. I was in solitary confinement for 2 weeks for my own protection because of the area of the jail that our charges landed us in, had us sitting next to murderers. There was a kid that I went to high school with in there. I hadn't seen him in 3 years. I go, well, now I know why I haven't seen him in 3 years, because he stabbed his stepfather in the chest 18 times with a butcher's knife. And they've got us, you know, clean-cut kids who have never done really anything wrong in their entire lives sitting in this prison for children. Prison for children. The thought is just crazy, prison for children. But actually being in it, it's a wild thing.
What? Okay, so there's some people I'm sure that haven't. There's got to be at least one person that's never seen that movie. What do the charges stem from? What exactly was happening?
So we took off in my pickup after getting off of school, and we drive up and down the street, and we find some freshmen. We go, hey, you guys been paddled yet? And they go, nope. We go, all right, get in the back of the truck. And we head out to the lake. They each get a couple licks with the paddle, and then we head back to my house, drink beer, and swim in the pool for a couple hours. Head back to school the next day like nothing happened. A couple days go by, and then just all hell broke loose. One kid's family got pissed off. My family looked like we had money because my parents spent a lot of money and they had a lot of credit cards. So we had a nice house. We had dirt bikes. We looked like a good target. So it was all about getting criminal charges so then they could get the civil charges, the private civil. They could sue us essentially for a ton of money. And the same cop who had been going after us for dirt bikes was the head cop on the hazing unit. And, he was looking to bust me and my family down for a bunch of different things. We had a party at my house one time, and this guy choked out his girlfriend, and he got beat up really bad. So we had some, history with this particular cop. And he made it his mission to destroy our lives. Literally ruin our lives. If I didn't have one of the best lawyers in the county repping us for free, we'd have been screwed for our entire lives. May have gotten prison time. They wanted to try us as adults. And you can only imagine what type of time all those felonies. I mean, I think it was 37 felonies that we were charged with. We could have been in prison for half of our adult lives.
When was this? What year?
This was 2003. It's made national news, actually. We didn't want to tell anybody about it, obviously. You know, you kind of don't want to tell your grandparents things when they're in their 70s because you don't want to freak them out and give them a heart attack. But it's kind of hard to do when they flip on the TV in Idaho and see their grandkids sitting sitting on the, you know.
That's wild.
Arrested.
The system has become so much more predatory in the last 30 years. I've witnessed it myself, 35 years, just having to deal with the system with relatively serious charges in my late teens, and then having to deal with it again here as an adult. And it's just changed so much, and it's hard to imagine how it could actually be getting any worse. I turn on the radio in a nation where supposedly we have free speech and the government can't control what we say, and I hear edits of songs that were played openly on the radio for 40 years. And then all of a sudden now you can't. And I just, everywhere I turn, everywhere I see, they just are turning the clock back on these so-called freedoms and liberties that we're supposed to have.
Yeah, I actually was just noticing that the other day. I was listening to a song, and they beeped out something that I thought was ridiculous that they would beep out. And the thing that bothers me the most about this is, like, it's not really the Bible-thumping Christians that have a hard-on about swear words on the radio right now. It's people with no morals and no background that want you to shut up, essentially.
That's it. Yeah, they just want to control the speech. They don't care about the words. Yeah.
They just want you to shut up, and it's an excuse to get you to shut up. Oh, look, he said a naughty word. And it's like, yeah, but you're dressing up like a drag queen with devil horns on the weekends, shaking your butt for kids, and you care that I said a bad word on the radio? I don't believe you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't trust you. Yes, I do. I don't trust that you have a conviction for what you say you do. It's a very sad place to be in, to sit back and just sort of watch people accept this. A takeover. I don't even really know any other way to put it, because I don't think I get the impression from history and the documents and the things that sort of help frame this nation, and I don't get the impression that what was really intended is what we have now. I don't get that impression. I think that what we have now is a bastardization of that simple notion of a very small, limited, localized government entities that people can deal with because they're a part of, that they're not some ubiquitous leviathan. That's the word that's used a lot to describe it. That isn't just, it's so pervasive. It's just, it's everywhere. You know, on that radio thing, this blows my mind. It's a Eminem song. Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. That particular song, when they air that song on the radio, there's a line in there where there's a bunch of lines in there, but there's a number of lines in there. There's a reference to drug use. There's references to the mother. All the things that Shady always talks about, and sort of, you know, sort of breasts, tits is edited. There's a beep over the word tits, but then later on in the song, there's a graphic description of him lying in his bed, putting a gun to his head and blowing his brains out.
And that's fine.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. You know, that's actually a great segue to like, give the background story on the name of my podcast, Too Hard for the Radio.
Okay, hold it. Perfect. Yes, let's do that. Too Hard for the Radio podcast. We got to go into a break right here. We're talking to the one-armed madman. Go to towardanarchy.com to follow along. We'll be right back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Somehow, that's what it was. I just tweaked it, maybe moving some boxes around or maybe lifting myself up on my own weight just a little bit. But it's not the new position of the drums that was causing my wrist to hurt. It was already hurting. And then I moved the snare around a little bit. I'm still trying to work myself around it and make it so. See, there's different ways to hold the drumsticks here, guys, and one of the reasons that you see that sort of upside down grip thing is because those drums were played on their sides. As they're marching along, the little drummers are playing them on their sides. They play the one stick upside down because it can't. You'd have to reach your arm back behind your back to hit it the normal way. So I don't have to do that. You don't have to do that with the drums, but you still have to find that comfortable position in that space. And I think anybody, any drummer will tell you that one of their hands, one of their arms is just friggin' stupid. It's just a dumb, that offhand. It just, you would be amazed at the things that you can do with your hand and not think about it all the time. But that when it comes to trying to get a drumstick to do a paradiddle, in comparison from right to left, and it's a discipline and retard is what it is. There's no hope for it. I was just glad that my wrist stopped hurting. Go to towardanarchy.com to follow along. Look for July 9th. You see all the information there for the one-armed madman, my guest for a conversation today about music. I hadn't thought about that, but we have to get into the music, but I want you to do me a huge favor, and I want you to support the network, republicbroadcasting.org, or go to shoprbn.com. Go directly to the source. Buy goods and services from all of the people and the wonderful businesses and individuals and groups and people that advertise all across the network. And there's some amazing things there. A lot of the great things that you need for sort of just kind of prepper stuff. There's a lot of stuff like that there that I've just always really had a lot of fun with myself over the years, because I have traps and I have backpacks and I have fishing rods and I have all this equipment and stuff. And then one thing that I always wanted that I finally had broke down and bought, and it comes to mind because it's just one of the things that you can find in shoprbn.com, is these gravity water filters. I just love it. It's just so fantastic to be able to do that. And then I took the next step and I have that. That's a sort of emergency thing that you can use if you need to do that. And then I buy, water, purified water by the gallons, 5 gallons, so I got one of those water dispensers that has the hot and the cold. Oh man, that you won't. I don't know if you'll find one of those at shoprbn.com, but you get the gravity filter and the best thing that you can do, if you can't, throw down the dollars, because we're never asking anybody who can't do it. If you're having trouble feeding yourself and feeding your family, and I know Rich listens to the network, and I know Rich has been struggling the last 6 months. He's had some struggles with the car, with the truck, and health, and it's just stories like that and people like that that they're real people, and I would never ask Rich to reach into his pocket with all the things that he has going on and throw money down for something like this. But the like, the share, the follows, the subscribes, wherever you see republicbroadcasting.org, do that. That's one of the biggest things that you can do for us. And if you can throw down the money, click the donate button at republicbroadcasting.org. That's a real simple, easy thing to do. Or again, hit shoprbn.com. Just please support the network, because if it wasn't for you, this network wouldn't be here. This network wouldn't be going on 20 years of faithful service to listeners. It's amazing. I'm so... what's the word? Blessed to find myself here. I know that's a term that can be mistaken some days. Towardanarchy.com, follow along. July 9th, you see the information to find Nick there. You can find the Too Hard for Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts. They're all up there. They're also on YouTube. There's a link there to the episode that I shared with Nick. And we had our little conversation. You find out the things that we talked about last time. But that was on video. It's on YouTube. I don't do the video thing here. It's on YouTube. There's video there. And for those of you, I've been talking about the comic book shop all the time. You get to see a little bit of the comic book shop. I'm sitting there at the time when we're having our conversation. And so there's comic book things going on and around. And you get to see, again, real people having real conversations. It's a wonderful thing to do. Couldn't do it without your support of the network, so please do that. If you go to towardanarchy.com, you look at July 9th, there's a quote there. I always have a quote, and there's this just wonderful image down there. There's always some sort of meme. And I love this particular meme because it's real. This was a real thing. So in the 70s, there one of the questions, and it's probably been asked again and again over the years, but this is from the 70s, from one of those game shows. What the hell is the name of this game show now? Why was all of a sudden is it blanking out on me? It's the game show where they ask 100 people. 100 people survey said, and they ask you a question, something along the lines of name something that people cheat on. And this was a question, and the number one answer was income tax. And I thought that's great, because you know that taxation is theft, right? I mean, that's really what it is. Even taxation with representation is theft. There's no two ways about it. It's not about the amount. It's not about why they take it. It's not about who they take it from. It's just the fact that they take it. And to top it all off with, they take it for themselves. They say they're taking it for us, but they take it for themselves. They build themselves palaces, and they arm their friends with money and weapons and the tools to fend the rest of us off, to keep them from paying for the theft that they participated in. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men in a society, over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. That's Friedrich Bastiat, and however you want to say it. I think Bastiat. I think that sounds cool. I don't like the Bastiat. That just sounds yucky. And Friedrich or Frederick, I don't know, whatever. That guy. The link's there. There, as always, when I do a quote, I share a link with you about the information, some information about the person who said the quote, and try to give some kind of context, because while this particular quote is in no way taken out of context, there are a lot of other quotes that I will share that can be taken out of context. So don't just assume. Do the research. That's why I give you the links, and you can have the fun. That's what I do. I just go in and read a little bit about the person and find out a little bit about them, and try to put that what they've said into some kind of context, especially when it's something like this where you see the quote over and over again. You see somebody talk about it, make a reference to the individual who made the quote or something like that. So do that at towardanarchy.com. You know, we were talking about music there, Nick, before the break, and of course the Too Hard for the Radio podcast, the Too Hard for the Radio has musical implications itself, and I think that's what you were getting ready to say before the commercial jumped on us there. Yeah,
I forgot about the commercial. So Too Hard for the Radio, it's a great story. Local rapper named Mac Dre from Northern California, Vallejo area. In the late 80s, early 90s, he was the hottest rapper in the area. Everybody knew his music. If you drove around Vallejo, you would hear it in half the cars. So during that time, there was a string of bank robberies in the area. And at one point, Mac Dre, who was the rapper who put out the song Too Hard for the Radio, and the song is Too Hard for the Effing Radio. And right. He literally could not get radio time on this song. And it was the hottest song in the Bay Area. A couple years later, he gets implicated in this bank robbery scheme. And he gets arrested at a hotel room for conspiracy to commit bank robbery. Never had him at a bank. Never saw him casing a bank. No evidence whatsoever. But gets thrown in prison for 5 years. In his rapping prime, for conspiracy to commit bank robbery. Now, while he's in prison, he reads. He does what I did when I got hurt. He gets into the books, and he really figures out the world. He learns about the CIA and crack cocaine and how it destroyed the black population in Southern California for just years. And
Gary Webb.
When he got out of prison, yeah, exactly. So when he got out of prison, he was a different guy completely. He was He said he learned to appreciate freedom, family, and life, and fun. So nice. He was able to actually change culture in the Bay Area. Things like Ghost Riding the Whip, which you can see on tons of rap videos. He started that in the mid-90s. So even though he wasn't allowed to get radio play for his entire career, he was still able to change culture and change the way of life for people all throughout the Bay Area. And I, as a fan, as somebody who grew up seeing this, I thought this was the perfect name for a podcast because, you know, even we're 20 years later now, and we're still dealing with the same stuff.
Well, but it's worse. That's what we were just talking about. It's worse today than it was then. They actually had more freedom and were more likely to get it than I think they would today because there's some political or social nonsense or another that what is the new term? What's that three-letter term?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I only just caught it, what it is, and it's this... I guess it's all BlackRock-driven,
This is something we've been covering on Too Hard for the Radio. I'm a motorcycle guy, so we've been covering Harley-Davidson for the past couple of months now.
Okay.
Harley is, you know, America. That's what you think of when you think Harley.
So was Bud Light a few months ago.
Yeah, so. And now they do the Budweiser can, and people are all blown away, but... This didn't surprise us at all because we've been covering the Livewire. And the Livewire is Harley-Davidson's electric motorcycle. Now, they have spent $400 million on this electric motorcycle, and they've sold less than 300 units. The thing is so volatile that they can't even store it at most of their dealerships. They're going to have to rebuild dealerships. My co-host, Nolan, on Too Hard for the Radio, is a Harley-Davidson mechanic. He doesn't even know how to work on the freaking thing.
Mm.
So they're actually changing their entire company to fit this ESG model. And you would think, Harley's not going to go woke. They're this Harley company. No, they're owned by BlackRock and Vanguard. Those are the two top stockholders of Harley-Davidson. And Harley-Davidson likes to complain, our customers are literally dying. At this point, only older people are buying our bikes. That is their fault. In the 80s, they started getting their butts kicked from Japanese motorcycles, Japanese Honda especially. Honda was putting out all sorts of bikes, and they were outselling Harley like crazy. So Harley, being good capitalists, decided to go to complain to Ronald Reagan and say, hey, you got to save us. We're this great American company, and we're getting destroyed by Honda. So Reagan goes ahead and puts a 49% tariff on motorcycles above 700 cc's, effectively giving Harley-Davidson a monopoly on large bore motorcycles.
Right.
And what do? They don't innovate. They don't make anything new. They just do the same old thing. I rode dirt bikes my entire career. I rode a Kawasaki. There's no reason that I shouldn't have been riding a Harley-Davidson my entire career. But they couldn't play in the free market. They had to have the rules twisted for them, and now they're paying the price for it.
Yeah, and it's this the environmental, social, and governance, and it's this investing, and that's what it's driven at is these socially conscious investors to pick their investment, and so I get. That there has to be some positive use to this and some positive understanding. People who invest in companies should be aware of what a company is doing, but it shouldn't necessarily be the influence that, especially when you're talking about politics and social things, because again, just as we were talking about earlier, it just changes with the wind. It just, you know, and then all of a sudden, it's in the opposite direction. And these companies are figuring out this the hard way. And it's weird to watch. It's like the weird slow train wreck that we're seeing with the woke movies that keep failing. And these companies that keep, Target and Bud Light and Harley Davidson, ESPN now. It just hit ESPN.
Well, these people are liars, too. So at Harley-Davidson, they're talking a big game about their ESG. We need to be responsible for stakeholders. They talk a lot about stakeholders, not stockholders. They don't really care about them so much. It's all about the stakeholders. And we care so much about the environment that we're going to hire a new CEO to head up the Livewire. And the new CEO for the Livewire worked for a corporation called Rio Tinto, which is the number two resource extraction company in the world. They have literally been raping and pillaging the planet since the mid-1800s. Their record on human rights and environmental abuse is 10 pages long on the Wikipedia. And, you know, they're, oh, look at this guy, he's great. they're liars. It's, again, when they say we care about the environment, I go, I don't believe you. I think you just want a better way to control the resources.
Hey, well, yeah, and that's what it's about. You notice that, one of the words is governance. And that's not management. That's not managing. That's dictating. That's what government is, governance. It's not controlling things and managing things because they have to be, because somebody has to do it, because this is, you know, otherwise it breaks down and these things don't work. This is, you will do it our way. We don't care if it works for you. We don't care who it works for. It works for us. This is the way we want it. And you're right about the stakeholders. That is one of the key words that they've changed instead of shareholders. Yeah,
that's
it's a buzzword
to look
exactly
for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of making things work for them, I think since you teased a little bit of technology and transhumanism, I don't want to leave people hanging a little
bit.
Oh,
yeah. So we only have a few minutes left. Yeah.
Okay. I can get it out quick. So when I got hurt, I immediately started looking into robot hands. I go, I need to get myself a good robot hand. And everybody told me these things suck. You're not going to want them. You just get a hook. I didn't take no for an answer, like I said. So I battled with workers' comp, and I ended up getting the best robot hand on the market. And the thing sucks. They were right. And I start looking into these things, and I go, well, why are so many of them on the market? What is going on here? And come to figure out, most amputees can't afford one of these things,
sure.
And the insurance won't buy them when they think they do need them. So essentially, these things, the prosthetic hands, are not made for amputees at all. These are just fancy science projects to get grant money and transhumanist technology through the colleges. So these colleges need to have these big programs. They need to get money from them. And one of the ways is to say, oh, look, we're helping the amputees. When it's not about the amputees, it's about a science project so you can live forever.
I wish I could say I was surprised. I just wish I could say I was surprised. Oh, this is a rare thing that you're talking about. This has never happened before. Nick, come on. You're a one-armed madman.
Right?
You've
Yeah, man, it's wild. They've almost given up on making something that is usable for an amputee. So, like, my arm uses electrical signals. It can kind of pick up some noise, and it does, like, three or four things. To essentially, to get it any better, you have to go into the brain. You have to do, like, an Elon Musk Neuralink-type deal. And DARPA's been doing this for 20 years. They put out a project, a public project, in 2012, where they bore into this woman's brain. She was a quadriplegic, and she was able to use a robot hand on the other side of the room. And now a lot of those scientists who were on that project, in that project, the head doctor resigned because they came to him at one point and said, hey, we want to hook her up to a flight simulator and see if she can fight a fighter jet.
Boy,
and he was
here
like,
we go.
What? I'm trying to help people move again, and you want to hook her up to a flight simulator? I'm not doing this. So he bounced, and now a lot of these DARPA scientists are all working for Elon Musk over at Neuralink. And I think this is for DARPA, it's a tough sell to say, hey, look, we're going to make super soldiers to test these things.
Yeah,
so they want to get it out into the market, and they want to get Elon Musk is the guy. Let's get somebody like me over there, and we'll get him on Twitter, and Everybody can see how cool this thing is, and he can play video games against the monkeys.
That's man, that's wild. Because you know that that's exactly what they're thinking. Because and I've been saying this for years. I've been saying that we have the Terminator and things like this, and they're all worried about the mule robots and the robot dogs and the drones and things. And I'm saying, just remember, at the other side of those things are all the people that run them and maintain them and control them. This is the bigger problem as we get closer and closer to this this singularity that the transhumanists talk about. We stand the danger in the interim period of enhanced humans. We're not going to have any time to be able to talk to somebody, I wouldn't think. We're live, and so we do get some calls. And somebody wants to jump in when there's literally only just 3 minutes left in the show. We're not going to be able to do it. I'd love to have the conversation sometime. You know what I got to do? I got to get another hour back. The show was 2 hours until just before the end of the last year, and some things moved around on the network, and I haven't made any moves to jump in there and get another hour back. I need to do that because it's not enough time. We should not be saying goodbye right now. We should be talking about the next phase of our conversation.
I'm just getting warmed up. I just got into a good rant there at the end.
Well, at any rate, what I was saying, in that interim period, in that period in between, we have to worry about super enhanced humans and humans at the controls behind these machines, or as these machines themselves, not machines, not autonomous machines that can be programmed and used, but humans that have been altered and are being.
Think about how dangerous, like, take a Ron DeSantis, somebody with no personality whatsoever, just a wet rag, and you give him a brain-computer interface where people can literally have, where he can have a screen in front of his eyes at all times with a person or a computer telling him exactly what to say, and maybe even lacing some emotion into it. So not only are we going to show you what to say, but we're going to kind of prep your brain to be in the right place, you know. And another one that I worry about a lot is digital drugs. What happens when you get, you know, some guy, hey, I'm going to be the digital drug guy. I'm going to go and record everything I do and sell it to people. And maybe it's going to start out with cool vacations.
Gee, that sounds like the plot of an HBO movie.
And killing and people are going to be buying experiences, which is terrifying. It's going to keep people in their homes, first off, which is where they want us. And it's going to lead to a whole different type of addiction. Imagine, like, these people who are so addicted to porn that they can't even leave their homes, essentially. What happens when you can actually, like, broadcast those feelings directly to the brain to where they think they're actually having the experience instead of just looking at it through a screen? People aren't going to want to get out of their homes.
No, they're not. Well, I guess that's where we got to leave it. Brother Nick, the one-armed madman, thank you so much for hanging out with me. I truly appreciate it. Please, everybody, catch the one-armed madman on the Too Hard for the Radio podcast. Go to towardanarchy.com. Look for July 9th. The information is there. And we'll see you next week.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.